in, and the doctor is in. And if I sound a little bit weird today, it's because I'm having to improvise my microphone quite a bit. Did you know that moving can be a lot of trouble? Oh, yeah. One of the problems with moving is that you have to move stuff. I know that sounds like amazing news to a lot of folks, but you do have to move stuff. And when you move stuff, you move different things that normally don't get moved. And one of the things that normally doesn't get shifted around is a lot of my equipment that has those transformer balings, you know, that you plug into the wall. Have you ever noticed that the hardware that have those kind of transformers, they never label the transformer with the name of the device that the transformer goes with? Well, that's one of the things that's going to be my hint for the week, is when you get a piece of equipment, whether it's a switch or whether it's a microphone preamp or whatever it is, label that sucker with what the device that it matches with. Because if you don't, you're liable to plug one into a device that doesn't match that device. Uh-huh. And if you do that, guess what happens? It's called meltdown. Transformer, basically, for my microphone preamp for my podcast, melted. I'm talking hot to the touch, can't even hold on to it, melted. It got so hot that I ended up putting it in the refrigerator. I know that sounds weird, but it was that hot. And when I took it out, lo and behold, it was dead. Dead as a doornail. So, can't use that preamp. I'm going to have to order another one. But in the meantime, I'm using a condenser microphone, a little lavalier. I'm cupping my hand around it, and I'm barely getting enough signal for you to even hear me. So that's why I sound a little bit weird, and that's why I'm yelling. So this is going to be a pretty short podcast, if I had to hazard a guess, because I don't think you'll be able to stand to listen to me that long. Let me talk about a couple of things real quick. I would refer you to my blog, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And basically, I did quite a bit of blogging this week. I really wish I had a microphone that you could hear me on, because I'd love to talk about some of this stuff. But in the meantime, I'm shouting into this one. Anyway, one of the topics I wanted to mention very quickly is that Bill Gates and Microsoft is trying to paint open source software like Linux and Firefox and OpenOffice as, quote, communist. Well, I can guarantee you that it is not communist. What they're trying to say is that their business-produced, monopolistic, closed-source software is, you know, red, white, and blue, American pie, the whole nine yards, and open source is a commie plot. Well, open source software is just software that is designed by people who love to program, and they give it away free. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Open source is not advocating socialism, communism, or anything of the kind. It's just saying, I've got some talents as a programmer. I'm going to write some software, and I'm just going to give it away because I don't want to make a ton of money off of it, and the other side of it is I don't want to support it. So they give it away. So it is not communism, which is what Bill Gates is trying to say. So there's a great article on open source isn't communism, and I'd encourage you to go to my blog and read that. Another thing is, if you noticed some of the email that you may have gotten lately that is spam, will appear to come from the FBI and say, we've seen you going to naughty sites that you shouldn't be visiting. And it has an attachment on the end. Don't click that attachment. There's another one that claims that it's a special tool you can use to download Paris Hilton videos. Don't click on that attachment. Both of those are going around the web right now and have a virus attached to them. Don't click attachments. Matter of fact, the best thing you do is just don't ever click any email attachment. That's pretty much what I do. So, My blog article is Sex and the FBI. Will it get you to open an attachment? And the basic question is, are you gullible enough and dumb enough to click on those attachments? Let's hope not. Alrighty, on with Microsoft again. Microsoft is willing to lie to diss Linux. Yeah. You might say, well, that figures. Yeah, Microsoft is really out to down Linux. And one of the ways they're doing it is doing a lot of very flawed studies. And as a matter of fact, this study is so flawed, they even admit that their data is wrong. And yet they say, but our conclusion from this study is, you know, if your data is wrong, then the study doesn't show anything. So what they're trying to say is that it's better to use Microsoft server software than Linux for your web server or for your servers in general. So you need to click on the article that I have linked to and read it very carefully. Now my question is, and the question I have in my blog is, if they're willing to skew the data this badly, what does it say about the belief in their own product? And then I go on to say there's a reason that Netcraft, as of the day that I wrote this article, which was November 22nd, that as of that date, Linux has 70.98, might as well say 71% of the web server market. That's out of 74,572,794 websites that reported to Netcraft. Now, seems to me the numbers tell the story. Webmasters who want their websites up are trusting Linux as their web server 71% over Microsoft's percentage, which is actually less than the remainder, because there are other, you know, there's Solaris and Unix and a few other, you know, IBM WebSphere and various other things that could have been used, but 71% is Linux. Now that's pretty good, no matter how you look at it. And of course, my web servers at drbillbailey.net are running CentOS Linux, of course. As long as we're talking about Microsoft, the Xbox 360 is finally out, for real. It's out, people are buying it, and unfortunately, they're having some problems. If you look at my website, to the blog, you can click on a link that I have there, and you can see some Xbox 360 crash screens. Now, you know, you may be used to the blue screen of death in Windows, but they actually have crash screens with the Xbox, and there are weird solutions to it. I even saw one on the web that said that the best way to fix the Xbox 360 if you start seeing crashes is to take the transformer, you know, the problem that I've had with my transformer with my other device, you take the transformer for the Xbox 360 and you elevate it higher than the Xbox 360, and that's supposed to make it better. I don't understand that one, but who knows? Maybe they're right. All right, another thing I want to talk about very briefly, and actually this podcast has gone on longer than I expected it to with my terrible microphone, but I can't resist sharing this one with you. This isn't exactly computer related, but, you know, as a certified natural health professional, I get really, really irritated by those drug commercials you see on TV. You've probably seen them, I know. They show somebody, you know, skipping across a meadow, something that looks very happy and joyful, and then they flash some drug up and they say, you need this drug because it'll make you feel better. They don't tell you anything about what it is, what it does, other than you got to ask your doctor to get this drug for you. Well, it then goes on to say, oh, and by the way, you know, there are some side effects. You know, your hair may fall out, your skin may turn purple. You know, your liver may fall out, you know, various things like that. But, you know, go ahead and ask your doctor to get you this drug. Now, the problem is that Americans, by and large, are over-medicated. The problem is that there are a lot of doctors who get their updates on what's happening in the drug world. I mean, after all, you think about it, a doctor is a pretty busy individual. They're out there, you know, helping people that are sick. They don't have a lot of time to go find out what the new studies indicate and what new drugs are available and everything. So what happens? The pharmaceutical companies that want to sell the drugs send a pharmaceutical company representative to the doctor and say something like, oh man, this is the greatest drug since sliced bread. You got to prescribe this to all your patients that have this, that, and the other. The doctor reads over the one-page sheet, you know, that they hand them that touts how wonderful this drug is, and then they're supposed to start pushing this drug. So basically, the pharmaceutical companies have turned doctors into drug pushers. Now, you may say, well, that's pretty strong, Dr. Bill. Well, hey, you think about it. For instance, here's an interesting little tidbit. If you think about the number of people that were on drugs just even 5-10 years ago, and when I say on drugs, I'm not talking about, you know, drugs that are hallucinogenics and things like that. I'm talking about prescribed drugs by doctors. 5 or 10 years ago, how many people that you know were taking a particular drug? Okay, think about that a minute. Now, I talked to a friend of mine today. I will not say who that individual is, but this particular friend of mine said that of the people that he works with, where he works, the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, young people are all on one kind of drug or another. And he told me that of all the people that he worked with in his immediate area, he was the only one that wasn't taking any drugs. Now, if you think about that, that is criminal. There is no reason that 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds should be taking any kind of drugs, not with that kind of consistency. And yet, doctors are overprescribing every kind of drug known to man, and on TV we're getting inundated with all these suggestions of, oh, you need this purple pill, and oh, here's a pink pill, and here's another color pill, and you need all these different kind of pills. Well, the fact is you probably don't need most of them. And the thing is, the quote-unquote studies that they're using are skewing the figures. For instance, let's talk a little bit about cholesterol. Now, it was said only a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, that any cholesterol, overall cholesterol number under 200 was considered perfectly fine. All right, now the number that everybody's shooting for is 170. Now, bless your darling heart, you may be, you know, eating exactly right and everything else, and your blood cholesterol may not get down to 170. So how are you going to get it down to 170 to make the doctor happy? You're going to have to take drugs. Now, who does that benefit? Certainly not you, because I refuse to believe that in a couple of years' time, going from under 200 to under 170, you know, is some magical thing that happened that everybody suddenly had this need to get their cholesterol lowered. No, actually what it is drug companies need to sell drugs to stay in business. They're responsible to their stockholders, and they're going to find a way to sell more drugs. So why not have a study that indicates that number needs to be lower, and the only way to get the number low enough is to get doctors to prescribe more drugs, and then they sell more drugs, and they're happy. Well, it doesn't make me happy. And that's the kind of thing that kind of irritates me. So I wrote a little blog article about that. And I linked to a cartoon that an organization called Prescription for America puts out. And the cartoon is called The Drugs I Need. So I want you to listen to the audio portion of this cartoon. And, of course, you can go to the blog, to the website, click on it, and actually watch the cartoon. It is funny. But listen to this cartoon.
You've got a headache. I've got some strange disease, don't worry about it. This pill will set your mind at ease. It's called Progenitorivox. It's made by Squab Merle Co. It's a life-enhancing miracle, but there are some things you should know.
It may cause agitation, palpitations, excessive salivation, constipation, male lactation, rust-colored urination, hallucinations, bad vibrations, mild electric shock sensations.
But it's worth it for the drugs I need. My disease may not be fatal, but I can ease my fears by taking two $12 pills each day for 50 years. They've spent billions to convince me, so now I realize Progenitorivox beats diet and exercise. I've got insurance, at least for now I do. And if I bought generic, it would cut my costs in two. But I want Progenitorivox, 'cause I saw it on TV. Those families look so functional, that Paisley pills for me.
But it may cause deprivation, humiliation, debtors, prison, and deportation. Dark depictions, dire predictions, life as seen in Dickens fiction. Empty pockets, court dockets, may cause eyes to pop from sockets.
But it's worth it for the drugs I need.
But it's now listen to the disclaimer at the end of this cartoon.
The opinions expressed in this song are not necessarily those of Squabble Co. or its subsidiaries. Progenitorivox is not available anywhere off or void in Wisconsin. Any resemblance to actual drugs, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Any unauthorized use of your own judgment in the application of Progenitorivox is strictly prohibited. Progenitorivox may not be reproduced without the express written consent of Major League Baseball. Progenitorivox may cause drowsiness or restlessness in lab animals. Do not resume sexual activity while operating heavy machinery without consulting your physician for erections lasting longer than 4 hours. Insert your own joke here. If you experience psychotic episodes, you're crazy. If death occurs, discontinue use of Progenitorivox immediately. If symptoms persist, consult your physician. All sales final. Batteries not included.
There you go. Progenitorivox. You just gotta have it. One of my favorite things on the disclaimer is, any unauthorized use of your own judgment while taking this drug is strictly prohibited. That's pretty good. And the other one was, you know, if death occurs, please discontinue use. That's another one that kind of got me. So the thing is, you gotta use your own judgment. That's what they said they did not allow. You need to actually use your own judgment. So the thing is, pay attention to these drug commercials, and instead of thinking, oh man, that sounds like a symptom I might have, realize that you shouldn't use a drug just because it looks good, sounds good, might meet your particular quote-unquote symptom. You know, don't go asking your doctor, what, you think I really need that? No, you need to eat right, get plenty of exercise, and stay off drugs, all right? Okay, anyway, my microphone is really a mess. I'm not going to force you to listen to a whole lot more. But let me quickly say, Microsoft Windows does have their anti-spyware update out. I would encourage you to get that because the new version of that will actually defend against the Sony DRM rootkit that we've been talking about. So I'd encourage you to check that out. The other thing, very quickly, is the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week, you know, I try to come up with some really interesting things. This one is kind of a funny one to have for this particular podcast since the microphone and the sound is so bad on this, and I apologize again for that. But the Geek Software of the Week is a program called MP3 My MP3. It allows you to record anything that your computer